Would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. This little aphorism, it holds inside of it an entire world of guidance for how to live a moral life as a Christian. There is in it an entire framework of how to wrestle with questions of right and wrong, of tradition and innovation, of pride and repentance. Now, first off, just a base reading of it. Jeremiah is issuing a prophecy about a promised future. And in this promised future, when a parent eats sour grapes, their children will not be the ones making that sort of like puckery, like this food is too sour kind of a face. That is, children will not be the ones to suffer for the sins of their parents. Seems like a pretty decent place to land, no problems so far. But why does Jeremiah care so much about this? Why does Jeremiah take such care to reject the idea of generational punishment? Now, it is not because of fairness, let me tell you that. That was my first guess, too, as an American who would love to think of myself as just myself. But when I went digging into the rest of the book looking for this fairness idea, it just wasn't there. That is not why Jeremiah is rejecting the idea of generational punishment. Jeremiah does so because the idea of generational punishment was letting the current generation off the hook. Jeremiah rejects the idea of generational punishment because it was becoming this kind of excuse for those who were living, for just allowing unjust conditions to persist. The attitude that Jeremiah was pushing back against was, things in society were bad, that's true. But it's probably because of something our parents did. Jeremiah wants the people of Israel to take moral responsibility for their own circumstances. And the idea of generational punishment, it had become just an excuse for why nothing was their fault and why they couldn't do anything about it. But the days are coming when they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And Jeremiah's call, it was not a popular idea at the time. Who would want to take moral responsibility for all of society, even when the problems can be traced back generations? To put this into contemporary terms, the wealth gap between white and black Bostonians, that's not my fault. That's because of redlining. That's because of restrictive covenants. That's because of the wording of the GI Bill. I wasn't even born then. The wealth gap, not my fault. I'm not going to pucker up on those sour grapes. But there is surely coming a day when they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. This idea that Jeremiah is pushing, that each generation must take responsibility for the whole of its moral situation in society, that's a hard pill to swallow. All the evils of the world, I have to take up as my own, even though I can trace their roots back to other people, people I don't even like, people who aren't even alive anymore. If that sounds unpleasant, perhaps I have a way out for you. Spoiler alert, I don't. But perhaps I have a way out for you. This belief that Jeremiah is pushing back against, that the sins of a parent are visited upon their children, this is a common belief at the time, and it's common because it was based on the Bible, and not just any old part of the Bible. This is from the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is the full-on second commandment. It's not number one, grant you, but number two is pretty good. And here it is, explicitly saying that children will be punished for the evil their parents have done, not just parents, but their grandparents and their great-grandparents. So which one is it? Will the iniquities of the parents follow to the third and fourth generation, as the Ten Commandments say? Or is Jeremiah correct that every generation must take full responsibility for the state of the world? Now, I'm not going to resolve this disagreement between Jeremiah and the Ten Commandments because they're not resolvable. This isn't a contradiction as if the two parts are unintentionally at odds or unknowingly putting forth incompatible ideas. Jeremiah is writing this because he's specifically tackling, taking head on, specifically arguing against something in the Ten Commandments. This isn't a contradiction. It's a conversation. The prophet Jeremiah responds to and expands upon something from Scripture, and it's the Ten Commandments. That takes some gumption. Jeremiah's response to the Ten Commandments deepens the moral questions at play. And this is how the life of faith is supposed to be. We who are inheritors of a glorious tradition of faith, we can't simply take it and leave it alone. We have to build upon it and deepen upon it. We must wrestle with it ourselves. In those days, they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's true. It's true that the troubles of the world did not begin yesterday. The Ten Commandments are right. Deep sins do echo for centuries. The problems of racism and patriarchy and anti-Semitism and religious hate and the destruction of the environment, they have taken generations to create. I didn't create all that stuff, and neither did you. There's only so many hours in the day. The moral failures of our day and age have taken generations to create, and they will take generations to uncreate. The Ten Commandments are right. Sin can echo beyond one human life. And Jeremiah is right, too. The mere fact that a problem is older than me doesn't excuse me from engagement with it. Nor does the mere fact that a problem is older than me mean that I am powerless to address it. The mere fact that a problem is older than me doesn't mean that I'm powerless to address it. In these two passages of the Ten Commandments and the prophet Jeremiah, we see in these two passages, in passionate conversation with each other, a potent framework for evaluating morality in a Christian sense. We must understand the past, recognize its power, and we must take up life in the present today, wrestling with it in full. And we, Old South Church, we are in a strong position to be able to wrestle with and understand the moral demands placed upon us by the generations that have come before. We are a place steeped in history. If all these lights were to suddenly go out, you would probably bump into some history looking for the door. We have in the company of our church's history staunch abolitionists. And we have enslavers who enriched themselves with the filthiest trade ever to taint God's good earth. Saints and scoundrels, peacemakers and killers, sometimes wrapped up in one person. This doesn't make us unique. This is the human condition. This is why Jeremiah is wrestling with the Ten Commandments in the first place. We are not unique in having a complicated moral legacy. But we are, if not unique, at least very well positioned because of our firm knowledge of our history. That is the gift of history, to understand that human life did not begin when I was born, and it is not going to end when I die. We are not free to ignore the past, but neither are we held captive to it. We have a moral duty to undo the harms of the past. And also, we did not directly commit the deeds of suffering in the world that occurred before any of us were born. We have a moral duty to seek to live life the best way we can, to refrain from heaping up great masses of suffering. And also, history will not end when we have all passed away. Generations yet unborn will look at what we do with a mixture of admiration and recrimination. We will have completed some great works of repair, God willing. We will have completed some great works of moral repair, for which they will say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servants." They will look and take up other work of repair that we have begun but not finished, and they will say of us, "You've made some progress, pretty good and mostly faithful servants." And they will look at some of what we have done, and they will see with the clarity of years ways that we have gone astray, things that we cannot see today, things that will set their teeth on edge. And they will take that up and repair it. The errors we make, they will be inherited by our children and our children's children to the third and fourth generation. We are morally responsible for the world. But God knows we will not be the end of it. There are only so many hours in the day, so many days in a life. We will not repair all of the ravages of the past, but we must make a start. May God help us.